Hey, happy Friday, everybody. Welcome to Situation with Michael Brown. It is the CEO Spotlight, which we do every Friday mornings at 9:06. I'm happy to have in the studio today Michael Haith, who is the CEO of TMAD, Teriyaki Madness. Is that correct?
Yes. Good morning.
Good morning, Michael. Do me a favor. Tell me a little about who are you? Where'd you come from? What do you do? What do you enjoy doing?
Me. I grew up in Denver.
Yep.
Went to Cherry Creek. Went to CU. I live a couple miles down the road here. And what do? I build businesses and have a company called Teriyaki Madness.
Yeah.
And that takes up a fair amount of my time. I ski. I just realized the other day I've been skiing for 50 years.
Yeah. Which is congratulations. Long. Yeah.
For surviving that.
Yeah.
One.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
And you've seen the
changes in I-70 going skiing too.
You know, the traffic and the geese, those are the two things that have grown quite a bit.
Exactly. So you are what most people would describe as an entrepreneur. What is an entrepreneur?
Somebody who has maybe some ignorant optimism on what they can accomplish. And I think most entrepreneurs just focus on building something.
Yeah.
Not necessarily the money aspect of it.
Right.
But how do we build a business and how do we kind of bring our vision to life?
Yeah. What kind of personality does it take to be an entrepreneur? And at what point do you recognize that you've built something and now it's time to hand it off to somebody else?
Oh, wow. I don't know if anyone ever realizes that they're there. We're always moving the goal line.
Yeah.
What does it take? Once again, that ignorant optimism. You've got to always believe in yourself and your team. I think the traits that make a good entrepreneur is being able to build a team.
Yeah.
One can't do it on their own.
Right.
And being able to support that team.
Yeah. Is the whole idea, like I always had the idea that in any organization that I was managing, I always wanted people that were at least, if not smarter than me, around me. And that never bothered, that didn't affect my ego. It was like, okay, you're really good at this. I want you on my team because I'm not very good at that and you're good at that. Is that a key component of being 100%. A good manager and a good entrepreneur?
100%. It's not hard for me to find people who are smarter than me. So, how do I put together a team of people who are all really good at their jobs and know the answers more than I do?
Yeah. Do you mind telling me, like, what are some of the, before we get to Teriyaki Madness, what are some of the other, things, organizations that you have built over your career?
Sure. I built a company called Port La France Catering, which I had for 20 years. That was here in Denver. I built a company called Maui Wowie, which we built to about 600 units around the world.
Now, what was Maui Wowie?
It was smoothies and Hawaiian coffees.
Yeah.
And we did carts that went to events. We built shops around the country that pretty much sold fresh smoothies and coffees, one of the originals.
Yeah.
Built a company with the founders called Doc Popcorn out of Boulder. And
Doc
they essentially
popcorn.
Set up in malls and they did all natural flavored popcorn.
Yeah.
And there's a few others in there. And when I found Teriyaki Madness, I sold them all and put all my chips on one horse here.
Okay. So
to mix a metaphor.
All right. So that leads to an interesting pathway. You found Teriyaki Madness, and based on the information that I've read, at the time that you found Teriyaki Madness, it was what you might describe as a small regional chain. Is that how you would describe it at
That's
the time?
That's exactly right.
What's a small regional chain, just to give us some perspective of size and location? Where was Teriyaki Madness?
No, the founders had built seven shops with a couple of franchisees all in Las Vegas. And that's one of the reasons why they asked me to come in to sit on the board, invest some money, and help them grow outside of that region.
Yeah. What attracted you to it?
A lot of things. One, the franchisees were making a lot of money. Two, I like...
And all the franchisees were in Vegas.
They were.
Okay.
I love the food. I love the fact that it's delicious food that's healthy, not healthy food that says it's delicious.
Right. Yeah.
It's a big bowl of food that can be customized.
Yeah.
So people can decide if they don't want carbs, or they want extra chicken, or they want gluten-free. And yeah, it's fresh vegetables, and it's delicious.
Yeah.
What really kind of attracted me was my kids loved it. My kids were really young back then.
Yeah.
And to find something that's delicious and healthy that your kids like, that's a home run.
Yeah. Now, did they seek you out as an investor or a partner? Is that how it came back? About, or were you in Vegas one time and you happened to eat it and then you started nosing around about it?
No, actually, I had five businesses at the time, told them I was actually too busy to get involved with something else.
Yeah.
Went out to Vegas, went out and tried the food, worked with them, looked at their financials, and decided that it was really something that I'd been looking for, which is, you know, kind of that discovery in a strip mall.
Yeah.
You know, not everybody knows it. It's not heavily promoted, but it's really integrated into the neighborhood. It's got raving fans, and it checked all those boxes for me.
Yeah.
And decided that this was going to be my swan song.
Right.
I'd built a few other companies. I'd been successful. How do I go ahead and now put all of my energies in one direction?
Yeah. Now, how do you know this is your swan song?
Because I don't have any intention of moving on.
Yeah.
From this for very long. I think my wife is over it.
Yeah, yeah.
That's probably
tired of the entrepreneurialism.
Answer.
Yeah,
that's
yeah.
Right. You asked how we know it's over. It's when your wife starts nagging you to spend some more time away from work.
Yeah, yeah. So you they call you, you go to Vegas, you fall in love with it. Where have you taken it since then?
Oh, gosh, we're all over the country. We're in 34 states. We're in Canada and Mexico. It's surprising how well it's doing in places like Alabama. Obviously, with the delicious healthy, it does well in places like California,
sure,
and Colorado, right, and Arizona. But we're in Florida and Texas and Alabama, where folks may not focus as much on healthy eating as they do in the rest of the country.
So let me ask you, what distinguishes Teriyaki Madness from, and I don't want to name any of your competitors, know if they are your competitors, but without naming any of your competitors, there are a lot of other, what I see, at least around Colorado, some of the chains that provide, you know, their quick Japanese or quick teriyaki or whatever. What distinguishes you from those other kinds of outlets that have similar kinds of food? Or is it wrong to say it is similar?
It's not necessarily similar. So we're in a part of the industry called fast casual. It's not fast food. It's not like a McDonald's or a Taco Bell.
Okay.
It's higher grade. There's a higher touch of service, the higher quality of food, and we charge more.
Yeah.
It's a bit more expensive.
Is it sit down?
It is and it isn't. So
okay.
We've got a few seats in our restaurant.
Yeah.
But the vast majority of our food goes out the front door, either pickup, curbside, catering, and we have a lot of third-party delivery with Uber Eats and DoorDash and those kind of folks.
Right, right.
What sets us apart? We're very simple. The franchisees have a concept that's very easy to execute, and our customers know who we are.
Yeah.
We don't have a million items, and we're convenient. And that's what got us through COVID so well, is that kind of touchless pickup and the curbside and all of those things that make it very easy. And we've really adopted technology.
Right.
We did a while ago.
Yeah. What kind of technology makes it easier to operate during the pandemic? And then I want to follow that with a question about supply chain. But what in terms of technology makes it easy to operate a franchise like this?
So there's consumer-facing technology, which are the apps, and there's ordering, ease of ordering.
Mm-hmm.
There's all kinds of catering technology now. But we're very convenient to use, whether it's a loyalty program. And then there's operational technology, which helps the business owners keep track of staffing and supply chain, which you're going to bring up, which everyone does.
Right.
Inventory, just bringing technology to business, especially a low tech business like restaurants, has really been refreshing. And frankly, it's really improved the bottom line.
Yeah. Well, let's do talk about supply chains for a second, because I'm always fascinated by anyone who's trying to run any kind of business, whether you're selling food, widgets, or whatever it happens to be. How has the supply chain and how has inflation affected your operations?
Yeah. So as soon as we made it where COVID got tamped down and people were not afraid to come to work, then we had the supply chain issues where our suppliers had those issues where we had items sitting on boats offshore.
Yeah.
It's been tough. Chicken's gone up. All these things have gone up because labor has gone up.
Right.
The franchisees have shown an amazing amount of grit and determination in making sure that they've been able to keep the menus up and be able to serve all of our food. And then a strong franchisor's job is making sure that we use the leverage that we have to come into the suppliers and say, you know, we're first in line.
Yeah.
So we really can go to bat for our franchisees.
Yeah. In terms of fast casual, I'm sure you've studied like price elasticity, and there's a certain point where it goes from being fast casual to where you're actually, you know, sitting down and you're paying extra for all of the amenities of sitting down in a restaurant. How do you deal with increasing prices and maintain the fast casual atmosphere?
Yeah, I think everybody has to raise their prices, and that thus inflation. We, more than quick service and those you know, drive through type places, we've got a bit more price elasticity because we've got higher quality ingredients. So our customers are willing to pay more for quality. So how do we do it? We raise the prices, we apologize to the customer, we let them know that, you know, it's something that we have to do.
Yeah.
And then we have expectations of the staff, since they're being paid so much more money, belatedly. Fast food workers and restaurant workers have been underpaid for decades.
Right.
We expect them to go ahead and smile and be able to treat the customer who is paying more for the product to be treated well.
Yeah. How is staffing going? Are you having a difficult time staffing?
The answer is yes, but it's coming back. Folks are coming back to work. They realize that they need to work to pay their rent. And,
yeah.
You know, we're paying more, and we have a culture that treats employees really well.
Well, let's talk about the culture. I had the CEO of Noodles & Company in one time.
Sure.
And we were talking about his culture and how he truly focuses on trying to get down to as low a level as he can in terms of the employees, making certain that they feel comfortable and they're happy in their work environment. Do you have specific things that you do to develop a culture within Teriyaki Madness?
I've got a pretty strong opinion about culture. I don't think one can build a culture. I think all culture is organic, and it's a reflection of the leaders. The leaders need to remember where they came from. They need to make sure that the joy of the business and the vision of the business is communicated to everyone. We've got a bit of an inverted triangle where there's not pushing things down necessarily. It's the customers who are at the top, and that sounds cliche and kind of businessy, but what are they looking for? And what are our franchisees looking for? And what are the employees looking for? And how can leadership serve up to all of those people to make sure that everybody's getting what they need?
How do you actually implement that, though? When you talk about an inverted triangle and the customers and the employees and everybody kind of drives everything that creates that culture, what kind of things do you do that allow that to happen?
A lot of communication, a lot of, I guess, vulnerability, and I'm trying to figure out how to define that, but we're just ourselves.
Yeah.
Were we scared through COVID? Yeah. Were we frustrated with supply chain and staffing? Yeah. And we talk it through with the franchisees, and that actually gets to the customers.
Yeah.
So once again, we're part of the community and we're part of the neighborhoods where we operate. And we're very open with the customers of, look, you know, please be nice to the staff. We're thinking that they came to work and
yeah.
there's somebody here working.
Right, right.
Please be patient. It may take an extra few minutes to get your food. And that's a culture of just transparency.
Yeah.
And here's who we are.
Right.
And a constant just celebration and celebrating the wins and being open about perhaps the challenges is how we, I can only speak for us, that's how we kind of reinforce and maintain the culture, which is, once again, the personality of the leadership.
Yeah. Well, in the last few minutes that we have, tell me about the food and then tell me about the locations. Where, here I am in the tech center. Where can I go to find this?
Well, there's one on Union right over here, and there's another one on Arapahoe and I-25. We've got two in the tech center.
All right.
The food really is customizable. And you said not to name competitors. We've got a competitor that rhymes with Wipotle.
Yeah.
And you can customize the food. You get
right.
a big portion. You can feel good about what you're ordering. The ingredients are high quality. We're much the same. They
yeah.
don't consider us. They don't even know we exist. So I don't mind naming their name. So, but that's really kind of who we are. We don't have
yeah.
the same. You walk through a line and you build your food. We cook it fresh.
Yeah.
It takes about 6-7 minutes, and okay. You can get whatever you want.
Yeah. And what does that? When I can get whatever I want, what does that mean? What does that mean?
That's a good question. Thank you. We grill chicken. We grill steak on an open flame.
Yeah.
And we toss it with our sauces that we make with noodles or rice, and we use fresh vegetables. And it's got, it's teriyaki. It's Asian flavored.
Yeah.
And we've got 9 different sauces. But our really claim to fame is spicy chicken. If you ever go to Teriyaki Madness, then get the spicy chicken or the chicken teriyaki, by far our biggest sellers and our secret weapon.
Yeah. If people are thinking about, one last question, if people are thinking about becoming an entrepreneur, what's your advice to them?
Don't go after the money. Don't think it's going to happen quickly. It's going to take 1,000 days at the very least to really
yeah.
build your business.
Right.
Get ready for, there's no hockey stick. That's just a silly concept where the business kind of flattens and then suddenly it rises. It is up and down. You've got to be able to ignore the bad, or at least learn from the bad, and just focus on the next step and maintain positivity, especially as a leader. You're the guy who's got, or gal who's got the vision, and you've got the dream, and whatever that is, just constantly don't forget that.
Do you find that the financial community is more prone today to help finance these kinds of projects than they were, say, 5 or 10 years ago?
If they're proven. I think that the finance industry has recognized that the restaurant industry is not quite as dangerous as it used to be. You have
yeah.
to stay away from folks who don't have experience and unproven yeah. business models. But especially in franchising, there's folks who believe that franchising is the devil.
Yeah.
And there's other folks who just think it's the greatest thing since sliced bread.
Yeah.
Folks who really like it.
I got to cut you off right here. Michael Haith with Teriyaki Madness. Thanks for coming in today. Great conversation. I appreciate it.
Thank you.